Thank you, ladies. All right, thank you again for being here tonight. And we are going to be looking in Proverbs chapter 7. A couple of announcements. We announced it on Thursday, but we had a couple of births. Brian and Erica Zalzos had a bouncing baby boy, Grayson. And so let's give, she's still, you know, recuperating. We'll clap for them when they get back. And then Daniel and Espy, they just had theirs, I think it was yesterday or Friday morning. And it is Diego. And so make sure if you have their cell phone numbers, maybe text them and tell them congratulations. We were trying to have them every month, and they totally blew the whole. Now, we do have another one in a couple weeks. I think it's Hannah Grandy. She should be delivering in a couple weeks, so that will be great. We're going to be looking at Proverbs chapter 4. We are in our series that we've been going over for several weeks. We'll be finishing up soon. We're calling it Victory Through Separation. And we've talked about the fact that the Lord wants us to live what some people call really the victorious Christian life. That just basically means we're living for Christ to the best of our ability. We're doing everything we can to serve Him and to be right in our relationship with Him. But if we are going to experience that victory, it will require on our part that we practice what is called separation. You can call it a lot of other things, to be real honest with you. It's nothing more than just practicing obedience in our life. And when we practice obedience, it'll do some of the things that we are talking about. And what I wanted us to do, I think this is the 11th message we've had, is just look at some of the principles of Scripture and show how really, if you live those principles and you follow them in your life, there will be some degree of separation in our areas, in our life. I want us to see that it's a biblical truth. We don't just want to do things as Christians just because, you know, that's just the way we've always done it. There should be a reason behind it. There's principles we try to follow. There's things we try to place in our life to put us in a place where we can continue to live the Christian life the way we are supposed to and be obedient to our Lord Jesus Christ. It's abundantly clear, if you read your Bible, that changing after you get saved is just a clear theme in the Bible. You really can't get around it. If you have trusted Christ as your Savior, as you grow in your faith, which is really our theme for the year, well, that's the theme for the messages, but that's our theme, desiring growth. If you're going to do that, it's just what's going to happen to you, you're going to change. You will not be the person you were the same person you were that day you met Christ down the road. God will do wonderful things in your life. That's what growth is all about. Change always involves certain things. It always involves adding positive things. As a new believer, and if you're a new believer, you find things that the Bible talks about that were not a part of your life before you knew Jesus Christ, and you need to make them a part of your life, and so you add that in. But it also means, in a sense, that we have to avoid, and in some cases, stop things in our life that were negative, things that were wrong, things that were counter to Christianity. They're the opposite of Christianity, and really they're hurtful. As we talked about this morning when we talked about sin's cancel culture, how that if we sin, as we saw in Psalm 51 with David, the very fact that we're sinning is going to tear at the very fabric of our Christianity, and it is going to keep us from growing in our faith and from us becoming the Christian that God wants us to be. Change also involves leaving the immaturity. I mean, I'm talking about immaturity from a biblical lifestyle perspective. There are things we see in the Bible for Christians that it takes a degree of Christian maturity to bring into our life. And so we get rid of the immaturity and we seek to become mature. That's why the verse says, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. We start off as in essence, a young Christian, a baby Christian, and we grow along that path and we mature. Change involves developing a connection. The Bible in John 15 calls that abiding in Christ. We have a relationship with Jesus Christ that starts at salvation, and the longer we work at it, the longer we go at it, then we start developing a deeper relationship with Jesus Christ. The more you know about him, and the more you understand him, and the more you spend time with him, and the longer your Christianity stretches out from that point of salvation, the deeper that relationship and that love for God will develop. One of the things, and I'm going somewhere, this is all introduction. One of the things that shows a growth in maturity is an ability to make proper decisions, to make right decisions, to make mature decisions. Do you know children don't do that? You go up to a child and you can say, I will give you, and you could put a dollar right here, or I can give you 4 pennies. Most kids are going to look at the pennies because they're shiny, and there's 4 of them compared to 1, and they'll take the pennies, right? How many understand that? Or you give them 1 quarter or 2 dimes, they'll take the 2 dimes. Why? They're not fiscally mature yet. They don't understand. So they make bad decisions. And the same thing is true of a Christian. The less we know of Scripture, and the shallower, I guess, the word I would use, our relationship with God, the easier it is sometimes for us to make decisions that are not right for us or good for us, and are not spiritually mature decisions. We read the verses in Proverbs. In one of our earlier messages, we alluded to a couple of these verses, and we talked about them, but I want to hit from a different angle as we expand the passage. So we look in the passage, and it helps us understand that God has a desired path for us to walk on. As we walk this Christian life, God has a predetermined location for us. He has a will for our life. He has a place he wants us to get in maturity and obedience and all those different ways. And he has a path of life that he wants us to live. There's no doubt about that. Like Paul said, I have finished my course. Well, that means he had a course. And there was a course he was supposed to follow. By the way, and that's the analogy, there is a race. You can run a race, and to be honest with you, you could probably skirt around it and take a shortcut, but you're not going to win. You're going to be disqualified. And it's not going to help you in the long run. Paul said, I have a course. And by the way, we all have an individual course. God has something for each and every one of us in our life. And as Christians, we want to be open to that. We want to be open to whatever God has. Now that's individual. But there's also a corporate course that we follow. Say, what's the corporate course? That's the Bible. Whatever the Bible says, that's God's will for us, and that's God's path for us, and he wants us to follow that path. It's the truth for everybody. God doesn't have certain things in the Bible. It says, well, here, you obey that, but other people, they don't have to obey that. Or you do this, but other people don't have to do that. We have a collective course that we all are to follow. In our verses in Proverbs, it teaches us some thoughts about this collective path, the scripture, that God has for us. Let me give you a few of these, and I'll get to the one thought I want us to get tonight in relation to this thing about separation. Proverbs teaches us, look at verse 20, please, if you would. He tells us first, we must be willing to know what those truths are. In other words, following God's path for our life means that we follow the word of God, and we try to make the principles, we try to make what the Bible says a part of our life. It's what we do. It's how we live. By the way, it makes our decisions. Some decisions are easy to make. If God has specifically spoken about a specific subject, we don't have to pray about that answer. It's very, very, very easy. If someone comes to me and says, there's somebody I like, and I was thinking about, you know, marrying them or whatever, starting a courtship with them. What do you think about them? They're not a Christian. I don't have to tell them what I think. I don't have to tell them to pray about it. God does not want Christians and non-Christians getting hooked up. Everything about us is different. We don't need to pray. So we must be willing to know what those truths are. Look at verse 20. He says, my son, attend to my words, incline thine ear unto my saying. He's saying, hey, listen up. Hear the truth I'm trying to teach you. Listen to what I'm saying. Now, let me say this. Most Christians get disconnected right here. We're willing to come to Christ for salvation sometimes, but we're not willing to come back to him to find out what he wants me to do in my life. We kind of just like, I got this salvation thing settled over here, and now my eternal destiny is settled, and I'm good. But that's not how it works. And he said, listen, you have to know. By the way, that's the part of our theme for this year, desiring growth, that we need to get, desiring. We're never going to grow, we're never going to learn the truths of Scripture unless we desire the truths of Scripture. And sometimes, you know how it is, we hear, but we don't listen. You ever talk to somebody and you know that they've mentally checked out? How many of you ever done that, right? And you could just start saying whatever you want and they're going to just start nodding their head. It's like, you're not even listening to anything I'm saying. How often do we do that? We read the Bible and I've been, you know, you're guilty of it. Not on purpose sometimes. You read it and it's like, wait a minute, I'm foggy. I'm not listening. What was that all about? You know, I checked off my Bible reading. Sometimes when you say, well, let me backtrack a little and go through that again. I didn't get it. But we have to want to hear it. If we don't want to know the truth, and you know what? There's not much that can happen in our lives to be a fruitful successful Christian that God would want us to be. In verse 21, he tells us that we must be diligent to keep those truths within us and before us. He said in verse 20, listen, verse 21, he says, let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. That truth that comes from the Scripture must be internalized, and it must become a part of who we are. And as we live our life, it needs to become the focus. You're typically going to walk and head toward that which you are focusing on. It's worse and worse and worse in our society. You drive on the freeway or you drive anywhere and people aren't paying attention. How many know I'm talking about? And they start swerving into your lane, and you go around them to be careful, and you look, and they're on their phone. Why? They're not focused on the road, so therefore, they're going to start swerving all over the map. That's what we do. If our focus is not on the truth of the Scripture, and that's not the focus and desire of our heart, what happens is we start to deviate from the predetermined path that God has from us. What are we supposed to do? We're supposed to keep them in the midst of our heart. As we learn the Word of God and it becomes internalized, we now have the ammunition to help us as we walk along the path of life. And when something comes that needs a decision, we're like, has God specifically spoke about that? Is that something God wants? Is there something God has said about that? Verse 22, we must recognize that these truths and following the path is where real life is found. Look what he says in verse 22. For they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. What's he saying? You know, the quality of life you have is determined by the focus and really the commitment you have to following Scripture in your life. See, we think life comes from doing what we want. And I'll be honest with you, I'm not wise enough to understand what is best for me if I'm thinking about it outside the terms of the Bible. Right? So many people make decisions about their life based on what they heard somebody else say, based on the newest thing that's coming through. And they're not sure. Look, you want the right kind of life, it's very simple. Start with this key thought. Follow God. Follow his word. Be a Christian that's committed to his word, because if I do that, that's where life, you know, there might be people that have more money, there may be people that have more toys, and they think, they act like they're, but you know what, deep down inside, they do not have the things in life that are really important. They may have a house, but they don't have a home. They may be married, but they don't have a relationship. They may have children, but they don't have a family. By the way, anybody can have children. But very few people can step up and become a family and fulfill their responsibilities. That's where life comes from. We don't even know what really life is unless we get in the Bible and we find out about it. Excuse me. Verse number 23. Once we have these truths, we must guard them diligently to make sure we don't lose them. We looked a little at verse 23 several months ago, but I'll reference it here. He says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. The word keep means guard. The word diligent means you're guarding in such a way like a guard watches over a cell, a prison, with a dangerous criminal. What he's saying is we're supposed to guard our heart. We're supposed to get it in our heart. We get the truth in our heart, and then we have to guard it with all diligence to keep the truth in there, to keep it confined so that we don't stray off the path. That's very important. If we're not diligent, we may start down the path, but we will not finish our life on the path. How many people have started out to serve the Lord and they let the things of this life and they let maybe even some sin get into their life, like we mentioned with David this morning, and it's thrown them off the path of life. They weren't diligent. That's part of what separation is. It's being diligent to make sure I follow God and I follow his word and I don't let my emotions get involved and push me off the track. I don't let other people's opinions push me off the track. I'm making sure that God is the one who's pushing me, and I'm not going to let anything else push me away. Verse 24, and then we'll get to the message. The message is, it's a one point and it's a lot smaller, but this is an introduction. We must not allow negativity about the right path detour us. Look at verse 24. Now you can't just take the proverb. I understand the truths of Proverbs, once you get out of the first few chapters, are kind of individual. But the first chapters are not. This is together. This verse is said within that context of staying on the path and following the truth. He says, put away from thee a froward mouth and perverse lips put far from thee. Within that context of following the path, don't let any negativity in. By the way, especially with the rise of social media, everybody gets their opinion. And I'll just be honest, I have Twitter. I thought I got rid of my Instagram account. I still do have Instagram. I don't read the comments. And I try to look at it for a little bit of news, but mostly good news from Christian places and so forth. And someone will, look, there's always somebody that's toxic, right? You know, we had a new family get saved and baptized and join the church. What about the other people who didn't? Okay. You can just spew garbage about anything. And by the way, people are very, if you're going to try to live for Christ, let me just say this, not everybody will be happy. Now, as I mentioned this morning, sometimes people don't like the way you serve Christ because of your attitude. No, I'm being persecuted for the truth. No, you're being persecuted because you're a knucklehead, okay? You have a bad spirit. But sometimes people just don't understand it. And you'll hear little shots and all this little criticism. By the way, let me help you with criticism. When you hear it, first of all, don't listen. And second of all, if you do hear it for some reason, why don't you get both sides of the story? There's always both sides of the story. But someone will get critical about something, and you don't even know the whole story. And they'll criticize living for Christ. I don't know anybody that is living for that has really sold out and given their life to Christ that regrets it. But I can tell you about multitudes who stepped away from the path, and they do regret it. And I'm not saying that, you know, you're going to hit by a freight train I'm not saying that. I've had many, they've come back, hey, I haven't seen you for a while. You know, some that were here maybe years ago say, hey, how's everything going? I try to be positive. How are you doing? Some will say, no, boy, just not going real well. I really need to get back to church. It's like, yeah, you know what? Yeah, that's good. And by the way, you're welcome. Let's go. Now, what's the message? The reason we need separation is so that nothing derails us from the life of following this path of truth that God wants us to follow, right? We have to stay on. When we deviate from the truth, that's when bad things happen. When we deviate from truth, the worst case scenario, we're not fulfilling God's will for our life. And by the way, there's detours out there. And so tonight, the one point, why we need separation? Because of detours. Look at verse 25. We'll read the last three verses. It says, let thine eyes look right on. This is after you avoid the criticism. Don't let it. Let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet. Let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. As we are looking at this passage and we get to the end of the verses, we're going to see the one thing I really want us to hammer in on for a minute. He tells us in verse 25, we have to keep our focus on following the path and living the right way. And he already saw that. Keep your eyes on it. Why do we have to keep our eyes on it? Because there'll be things in life that pull our eyes away from where it should be. And once we lose that focus, we're going to start backtracking in everything, our relationship and all of it. Let thine eyelids stick straight for thee. Remember, the direction of your life is determined by what you focus on. And I'm not against it. Whatever career, whatever job you're in, you ought to do your best. You ought to. I mean, it don't matter. Well, we think sometimes, well, you know, if you're working for God, you know, you do your best. No, you ought to do your best in everything. Right? But sometimes people will put their career before God. That doesn't work. Our focus is more on making money than it is on God. And by the way, I always said, look, if you're working somewhere and someone's got to get a raise, might as well be a Christian. Okay? There's nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with the promotions. But when that becomes the goal in our life, that's where the problem is. That's why Timothy says, you know, they that will be rich, they have the snares and the temptations that come. Why? Because will means that's become their one to overriding passion in life. No, our overriding passion in life ought to be Jesus Christ. Our overriding desire in life ought to be to just serve God. And anything else that starts to chip away at it gets our focuses off of it, our eyes are off of it, and now we're headed down a wrong path. We must constantly consider and strengthen our path of our life. He says in verse 26, ponder the path of thy feet and let thy ways be established. Ponder needs to weigh out. It's almost like it's using the term of a balance and a level. Look at what you're doing and make sure it's where it's supposed to be so that you can be established, which means secure and stable. If we're not careful, we'll get off of the path and we don't even realize it because we're not thinking about where we're going. And the farther you get down the road, look, getting detoured starts small, right? You start a little bit and you're still close to the line where you're supposed to be, and then you go 10 feet down there and you're wrong. I mentioned before we were up here when we were first starting to build the building, we were building the hallway, not 2x4s, we use metal. What is that, Tim? Studs. And I was on the stud team. Makes a sense, you know, I'm stud. Where's Chris McDermott? Chris McDermott worked with me. When we had to put the studs over that drop-off there, I'm like, I'm married, you're not. You get closer to the edge than I get, okay? But they're putting the studs up, and just so happens, because I'd been laying the studs, working the studs with Chris, I knew the measurements and so forth, where they needed to be and how many inches they had to be off, and I just happened to be walking upstairs, and these guys started, and they did about 5 feet, and they're having a good time, and I walked by, and I'm like, that doesn't look right. And so I got the little measuring thing out. I measured it, and I said, man, they're off by like 6 inches. So I went, I wanted to make sure. I don't know who I told, maybe Albert at that time. I'm like, those guys, I think they're off. And he went up there, and sure enough, they were off. And fortunately, it was only about 5 feet. They had to pull out and start over. But they started off, and if they would have kept going, it would have been the whole time. We start getting off the path. We have to think about where we're going. We have to ponder the path of our feet. Hey, is this the right way? Constantly reevaluating my life. That's why we have invitations at the end of our services. You hear something in a message or God's been working on your heart about something. You're pondering it and you want to come down and get that settled with the Lord. In verse 27, he says, turn not to the right hand nor the left. We have to be determined that we want to stay on the right path. Most of us just want to do just enough to stay as close as possible. But we need to be very careful. This is where the point I want to make. If we're going to stay on the right road and stay in the right path, we have to do all the things that we are supposed to do with the truth. But there's one small thing at the end he tells us we need to focus on too. Verse 27, the last part of the verse, he says, remove thy foot from evil. He goes, don't go in, don't stay away, get away from that which is wrong. You see, because like we talked about sin and canceling this morning, when we allow that which is wrong in our life, it starts to cancel out the things that are right in our life. When we are allowing things that would be evil or sinful or wrong, it is going to keep us from going down the path that we are supposed to go down. The problem I see is that Christianity has become way too welcoming of things that are, some things are moderately wrong, but just to be honest with you, a lot of things are just flat out wrong. And we start dropping words and phrases that were never meant in Scripture to describe that. Well, you know, I'm under grace. Okay, what does that mean? That means we have God's eternal forgiveness for everything we do, past, present, future. But that doesn't mean we have a license to do what we want. Titus makes that abundantly clear. The grace of God teaches us, and then he mentions some things we're supposed to be very careful. We don't want to welcome it. Proverbs admonition is to just get rid of it. Don't go near it. But we see, the problem is when we start welcoming those things, they become a hindrance, and then they kind of become a part of our life, and we're not even noticing it anymore. I was reading a book about I think it was in the early days of car manufacturing. I think it was Chrysler. They had a new guy was running Chrysler, and they were very sloppy. And so he did something. He got this huge log, and he placed it right in front of an elevator. And it was pretty heavy. And he sat it there, and he kind of hid in the foyer so no one can see him. And that was the elevator a lot of his executives took up to their offices. And so he just left it there. And he watched, and all day long, people would just come and like, why is that here? Like, I don't know, someone must have put it. And they'd just step over it and get onto the elevator and take it. He said, finally, several hours in, a young man came and said, realized, hey, this isn't supposed to, they got someone to help him, moved it out of the way. And he went up to his men and had an executive meeting and chewed them out and said, you guys, that's what we're doing in our company. You're just letting stuff sit. You're not thinking it through. You're not moving it. You've gotten so used to what's going on here and it's not going well. That's what we do in our life. We allow things in our life and it starts to creep in. And it creeps in so slow sometimes we don't notice it until it's just front and center there and we don't deal with it. We have to be very, very careful. He says, remove thy foot from evil. If we're going to be separate, we remove those things that would deter us away from living the right path and living the way God wants us to. So what does removal mean? Give me a few minutes, I'll be done. It means several things. First of all, it means to turn aside. To turn aside. What does that mean? When you see it, do not head into it. That means you got to be vigilant. That means we got to be prudent. The problem is when we're not spiritually strong, when we're not scripturally strong or rooted, we don't notice those things. And you'll head first into something where if you had a little bit of a little more spiritual understanding and insight, you would be able to see, hey, if I take this path or I do this, it's not good. I got to turn aside from this. This isn't going to end well. We talked earlier in the message about making right decisions. The reason we don't make right decisions because we can't look at a situation spiritually or scripturally sometimes. Therefore, we don't see what that course of action, where it would take us. We don't see that course of action, if we're not careful, would cause us to deviate from where we're supposed to be. Turn aside. Don't head into it. Sometimes people are amazed at the bad decisions that they make. How did this happen? I've been doing this for a long time. I just don't understand how this can happen in my life. A lot of times they're naive about some of the decisions they made, which really were unscriptural, which put them on the course to get to this place. It also means to depart, basically to leave. You know, sometimes we come into Christianity and there's things in our life that the scripture would tell us aren't right. and it's something that maybe is just there and dabbling in it or whatever, and we didn't understand. So what do you do? You depart from it. Once you find out it's not right, it's like you don't say, well, that's just how it's been. No, you say, okay, I've got to make that change. When I came into Christianity, I had to depart from a lot of things. Everywhere I turned in my life was something I needed to depart from. And I was like, okay, I'm seeing that this is very destructive. And I saw what it did to my friends, and I saw what's going on, and I saw what the scripture said. And I'm like, I got to make a decision. Either I'm going to follow Christ and do the right thing, or else I'm going to kind of just mess. And I'm like, I got to stop. And so I stopped. Sometimes I wasn't as maybe nice as I should have been about it, but I'm like, this can't be a part of my life anymore. Have to be very careful. It's almost like Joseph, when he had Potiphar's wife, he didn't debate with her. She said, hey, lie with me. He goes, I can't do that. You're master here. Like, no, he's giving me everything but you. I'm not doing it. And she's like, grabs his coat, and he says, fine, you can have the coat. I'm out. That's how it's supposed to work. Don't look, and sometimes people try to force things on us, and we feel like we gotta go. Also, it means to remove. That means get rid of it. There are some things in our life that we may have from the old life. You don't need to hang on to them. You get rid of it. Some of you have some numbers in your cell phone you probably need to get rid of. Some of you got some people you're probably, well, that got really quiet. You know, well, I'm following my old girlfriend. Okay, you don't need to follow your old girl. Now, if you're a girl and you mean she was a friend who happens to be a girl, okay. But why? Well, I'm just, you're married, stop. Okay, well, just block. And I've said it before, if you're at work and you have some kind of correspondence or someone says something that's inappropriate, call them out on it right away. I just don't want to be mean. I'd rather be rude than allow that to continue. If you're a lady and some guy does that, say, I'll tell you what, let me run that by my husband. I'll give him your number. That'll stop it. But you just need to get rid of some things. You know, I told you, mine was music. And I had all this music, and it was albums, and chucked them. It's a lot easier for you now. You just got to delete them. Get rid of your Amazon Prime account. If they're all on your Amazon, clear that thing out. By the way, you can get good music to replace it. I don't know what it is, but if there's something there, it's like, you know what? I can't let this stay. I've got to get it out here. It's going to hurt me. Also, remove means to bring to an end. Just stop. Just stop. Maybe there's an action or something you've been involved in. It's like, I'm stopping. Now, you might need to take some steps to ensure that you don't get back to it, but you just got to say, no more. We used to show that little clip years ago in church. It was an old, maybe some of you saw, it was an old Bob Newhart clip. How many of you saw it? The one with, he's a psychologist, and the lady comes in, and he's like, I got to talk to you. And he goes, okay, 5 minutes, $10. And he's like, huh? He goes, yeah, well, this won't take long, trust me. So she gives him the $10, and she sits down, goes, what's your problem? And her problem was that she was afraid of being buried alive in a box. And he's like, okay, has anybody ever tried to, like, you know, bury you alive in a box? Like, no, so it's never happened? No. He's like, okay, I have the advice for you. She's like, should I write it down? He goes, no, just two words. I'm pretty sure you'll be able to remember it. She goes, okay, what is it? He goes, stop it. And she goes, excuse me? He goes, stop it. Now, that's simplistic, but it's good advice in a lot of things. Well, but what about this, that, or the other? If it's something that is negative in our life, just stop. Just stop. Well, you know, it might take a while. No, it didn't take a while. Stop. Well, I made the decision to get rid of my music. It was like one day. And it was like, tomorrow's trash day. I got the trash can. I put them all in there, threw them out. We were done. Just stop. There were some people I couldn't hang around with anymore. They called, and it's like, just stop it. There was a girl, she called me, and I hadn't seen her in forever. And she, hey, my parents are gone, why don't you come hang out with me? And I'm like, oh, man. And it's like, what did you say? I said, hey, I go to church now. And they got real silent. And I'm like, I kind of love Jesus. And it got really more silent. And then she's like, you know, I got to go. I'm like, absolutely, you sure do. Okay, now, that was probably the rude way to say it. I probably should invite her to the church or something. But it's like, I'm done with that. Stop. I had to get rid of it. It also means to dispose of, get rid of access to. Some of us have access to things that aren't right. I already mentioned some of them. Some of us, and I'll be kind here, but if you have some type of issue, sometimes you even need to get rid of some devices. Or you really need to tone them down. You say, but yeah, but I mean, if you're struggling with something, do you really want to get victory over it? We have to be very careful. What's the point? The point is, God wants us to grow. God has a path for our life. And as we walk on that path, you realize we do have a spiritual enemy, right? Satan. And if we're not careful, he throws things in our life and we don't understand it, we're not seeing it, and before we know it, it's like, what happened? How did I get off the road? How did I get to this place in my life? We weren't careful. That's why separation is important. Separation helps us look at life from being obedient to God. And if we look at anything that would keep us from being obedient to God and to walking the right life, we say it has to go. I have to move away from it. I have to make sure it's not a part of my life. I need to put boundaries and safeguards in my life to make sure I can stay on this path. That's all obedience is. That's all separation is. Just looking at the Bible from God, what do you want me to do? And doing it. And Lord, what do you not want me to do that would hurt me? And not doing it. And setting up principles in place to keep us from doing that. That's all it is. So we can continue on the path that God wants us to be on. Let's stand together this evening. every head bowed, every eye closed, just for 1 minute. Thank you for listening. Long introduction and just a short little point. The Christian life requires us to change. That's why we are told that God predetermined when we got saved that his desire for us was to be conformed into the image of his son. That means changed into the image of his son. As we live on this earth, we want to live in such a way that we are becoming more Christ-like in our actions. Not just that we wear a little wristband that says WWJD, but that in our life, we actually want to live in a way that Jesus would have lived. And by the way, it's a lifelong pursuit. And we're never going to be perfect. We're never going to get there. But our desire is to be more Christ-like. Well, I know this. When I came into Christianity, I was nothing like Jesus Christ. And God started making some changes. And by the way, I still got a ways to go. And so do you. That's what separation is. Obedience to God and keeping myself away from that which would keep me from being like my Savior. Piano's going to play. Maybe God spoke to you this evening. Maybe there's a, and by the way, it doesn't need to be a big thing. It might be a small thing. That's like, you know, hey, God kind of tapped on me. Yeah, that's something I need to be careful of. Maybe it's just a warning like, you know, I'm not sinning or doing wrong, but I can see where if I'm not careful, I can get into that. All of us have to walk through this life. And there's landmines everywhere. But thank God, God gave us something more powerful than any landmine. It's the scriptures. They keep us safe and help us to have the life that he desires for us to have.